Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The section of scripture we'll be reflecting on today. While Peter was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Listen to him. That's the way that it's typically translated into English for us. God the Father speaks to Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration and tells them to listen to him. That is, he wants them, and by extension, he wants all of us also to listen to Jesus. The Greek, however, is even more emphatic. Akouete autou, it reads. For those few of you who like to parse Greek verbs, that's the present imperative active second person plural of akouo, the Greek verb meaning to hear. Which means, if we want a more accurate English rendering of what the Heavenly Father is commanding here in this verse, then we have to revert back to the old English as we find it in the King James Version of the Bible, where it more accurately reads like this. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Akouete autou, hear ye him. I learned an interesting little factoid when I was getting ready to preach this sermon. In the Judeo-Christian tradition, we are pretty unique. See, in all the other ancient Near Eastern religions and in Greek mystery religions and in Oriental Gnosticism, great stress has always laid on the fact that man understands God and man gets to know God and man gets closer to God by seeing what God wants to show him. In other words, the content of God's revelation to man in all these false religions consists more in seeing rather than in hearing. The emphasis is quite different in the Old and New Testaments. To be sure, God does appear to certain people at certain times, revealing himself to them in ways that they can actually see. But just think about that. More often than not, when God shows up, it's to give someone a word or a message that they are to carry to others and speak to them so that everyone can hear and not so much see God, so that everyone can hear what God is thinking and doing and revealing about himself. In biblical religion, it is typically by hearing that we get God. It is in our hearing of his word that he reveals himself to us. It is the ear and not so much the eye that receives God's divine revelation for us and for our salvation. And just look at what's going on in our text for today. Yes, there's a lot to see and to look at. Yes, there's Moses and Elijah standing on the mountain next to the transfigured and sunburst bright Jesus. Yes, there's the bright Shekinah, the cloud of glory that envelops everyone on the top. Yes, there is a lot to see. But what's the point of it all? What ultimately is the Father's message to the disciples and to us? Well, it's this: that you see my beloved Son for who he is important, but that you hear what he has to say is even more important. So hear ye him. Present imperative active second person plural of akouo. It is a command, all right, but is often the case when the Father speaks about his Son, there's also promises connected to it. promise being that Jesus really is worth listening to. That when we hear Jesus, we hear words of love and life and salvation. That if we continue in his word, we are truly his disciples and will know the truth. And the truth will make us free. God the Father is promising here that as we hear his Son, good things will happen. And as we share the words of his Son with others, good things will happen to them as well. Because in Jesus, we have the words of the prophets made more certain. In Jesus, we have the word made flesh. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through him he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things. How? How is Jesus sustaining all things? The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. In other words, brothers and sisters, anytime anyone hears Jesus, they're getting God's best and final word. Anytime anyone hears Jesus, they're getting plugged into the life that really is life. Anytime anyone actually hears Jesus, they're actually receiving what he says. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. That, all that is what comes from listening to Jesus. That's what happens when we hear ye him. Present, imperative, active. Second person plural of akouo. It is a command to be sure, but it is also an invitation that has a promise attached to it that goes way, way, way beyond everything that God has ever said or done before. You know, back in the days when I was still teaching homiletics around this joint, one aspect of preaching that I absolutely was fanatical about was my insistence that all our sermonizing has to be for the good of, for the sake of, and for the betterment of our hearers. You can share all kinds of good, true, pure, biblically sound, and theologically correct information from the pulpit, I would tell my students, but if your listeners aren't better off after the sermon than they were before, then you may be speaking and you may even be teaching, but you sure aren't preaching. Because preaching, real preaching, always helps our hearers. Real preaching always meets our hearers where they are and takes them to where the biblical text wants them to be. Real preaching brings the crucified and risen Christ to them in vivid, visual, and vital ways. And he changes them for the better. And they go home knowing, just knowing, that during the sermon they were actually hearing from the risen Christ himself. They were actually in the presence of Jesus. So the question before us today is this: what are you willing to do? What are you willing to say? What are you willing to give up? What are you willing to take on? What are we willing to sacrifice? What are we willing to become so that the generations that come behind us are actually able to hear the gospel when we share it with them? As a preacher, as a leader, as one who will set an example for your flock to follow, what price are you willing to pay so that they hear? So that they actually hear the gospel. St. Paul, you know, became all things to all people, so that by all possible means he might save some. That's what I want to be. That's what I want to do. That's the way I'd like to live and be remembered. I think you would too. We want that kind of love and that kind of concern and that kind of humility coursing through our veins. We want our words and our actions, our lives and our ministries to look and sound like that. We want to be the hands and feet and especially the voice of Jesus that the Holy Spirit uses to bring many people to faith in Jesus. Because our children need us to be like that right now. Our children's children need us to be like that right now. This lost nation needs us to be like that right now. The love of Christ compels us, and the love of Christ empowers us as we hear ye him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.